Good afternoon. How are y'all doing? Good?
Good.
Well, we had, if you are here for living on a mission as a mainstream filmmaker, you're in the right place. We have a great seminar for you this afternoon. Kurt Tuffensam. It's going to be speaking to us. Kurt moved to LA, which is where he lives, 7 years ago to pursue a career in the film industry. His sole intention was of reaching the lost in Hollywood, so living missionally through his filmmaking. During his career out there in Hollywood, he has worked as an assistant editor, an editor and a post-supervisor, a line producer, and unit production manager on more than 20 feature films and multiple TV series. Recently, a film he line produced called The Job, starring Ron Perlman, Joe Pantoliano, and Taryn Manning, recently won Best Screenplay at the San Diego Film Festival. So you're in for a real treat today. So without further ado, here's Kurt.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to this seminar today. How many filmmakers do we have here? Almost everybody. That's great. I'm very glad that filmmakers are coming to this seminar. I don't know, can this be turned up just a little bit, or I don't really want to lean into it. So out of all of you who raised your hand saying that you're a filmmaker, how many of you intend to make the mainstream entertainment industry your career goal? So it seems like probably half of you raised your hands that time. And what I mean by that then is that, of course, there's plenty of opportunities, like we heard about yesterday at the film festival here, for using your gifts in the church market or in mobilizing Christians to missions and similar things like that. But what I've focused on over the last 7 years is, and really more by God's leading than by my original choice, having a career in the mainstream entertainment industry in Hollywood and reaching the co-workers that I work with, other filmmakers, other celebrities in the entertainment industry, and really becoming incarnational to reach them with the gospel. And what I really hope that you'll get out of this seminar today is that you'll be challenged to see the lost in Hollywood, to see the brokenness, the pain that exists among celebrities, people who think they have it all, or maybe they realize they don't have it all, but people on the outside think they have it all, that they need us to be there among them. They need us to live among them, to relate to them, and in the words of Ramaz Atala, who spoke on Sunday night, he said, we need to go to them in their context, on their terms, and whether or not they respond, and with an attitude of vulnerability, weakness, and humility. And that is extremely true in the mainstream entertainment industry, whether it's broadcast television, cable shows, or feature films in the studio realm, independent realm. You have to come with a vulnerability. And so that's what I'm going to speak about today. And the first thing that I want to do is I want to show you a clip from the film The Job, which, as Andy said, won Best Screenplay at the San Diego Film Festival September this year. I'm just going to give a little bit of background here. It's a short clip. I had a little bit of a hard time trying to figure out which 5-minute clip to show from the film. But just to what occurred before this, the storyline is that Ron Perlman plays a character named Jim, who's a sort of a traveler, comes into town. He's a con man, which the other character doesn't know that at first. But he's been invited into this guy's house, the main character. The main character has just lost his job, and so Jim's character here is going to tell him about a job, and then he's going to go interview. So that's the scene that we're watching.
About you. I'm a girl across the street.
thing like that ain't gonna wait around forever.
Some guy, Nick, in Baltimore.
Yeah, he told me I was ever around these parts and I was looking for any steady work. I don't know, must be a job agency or something.
What about you?
Oh, no, I ain't gonna be around here long enough to take advantage of it. But hey, it's the least I can do, you know, given the hospitality. Well, sweet dreams, amigo.
So he's being hired to be a hitman and he doesn't know it, which is sort of the twist of the dark comedy, which is this film is. Can you turn this up a little bit? Great. So what I wanted to talk about that particular film was that along the way, developing a career in Hollywood, God has given me a lot of favor with filmmakers there. I was the line producer and unit production manager on the job, which means that I designed the budget, the production plan, broke down the script, and hired all the crew, actors, did contracts, handled all the union contracts. That particular film, we shot it in Detroit in summer 2008, and we were the first film under the new incentive that they passed in Michigan, and we got the 42% rebate on the film, which it didn't apply to every department, so it ended up being about 33%, but still, on $1.5 million, we got $500,000 back, which is pretty incredible. And so it was a good experience, and out of a crew of anywhere from 70 to 90 people, depending on the day, there was one Christian besides myself on that film. And one struggle that I've had working in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles is that there's so few believers who are on a professional level where I can bring them in for a particular role in the film. I mean, sometimes they're not available, and there's just so few of them, you know, to work on the film. And that really bothers me. Another thing that I'd like to see change is that there are a lot of Christians who are filmmakers in Los Angeles, but out of the couple thousand who are, you know, sort of part of the Hollywood Prayer Network and other networks, there's a small percentage of them that are working in the mainstream entertainment industry. Out of the people that I meet, I mean, maybe I'm just really bad at timing and who, you know, being in the wrong place at the wrong time and not meeting the other believers that are working in the mainstream, but I just haven't met them. And I'd really like to see that change. I'd really like to see some students, some film students, up-and-coming filmmakers make their way to the mainstream entertainment industry and whatever department you would like to work in, just go there. You know, and obviously as God's leading you, but you can do it. I mean, I'm just a regular guy from Cincinnati, Ohio, went to film school at Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida, and graduated early 2003, moved to Los Angeles. And since then, I started out working as an assistant editor in commercials. And I'm going to show you a couple of the films that I've worked on. I started out in commercials, then I got some opportunities to work on, I got hired on a feature film as an assistant editor, and then I did a couple more features, and I joined the Editors Guild, so I could work on union shows, and through that process, I met some really great filmmakers who I was mentored by. On the next page here, the movie Tamara, Borderland, and actually that was, and Deepwater from that page. The editor for those films was Eric Strand, who cut the recent film Forbidden Kingdom, if you've heard of that, with Jet Li and Jackie Chan. So the incredible thing about just going there and living among them and working in the community, working in the entertainment industry and forming relationships is that I've had the opportunity to learn from guys like Eric Strand, particularly on a couple of the films that we worked on. I was able to, he would sit down for like say an hour or two and take it out of his day and let me cut scenes, and then he would review them with me cut by cut, and he would tell me, you know, why, where he would have cut from one shot to the next, or what shots he would have used, you know, differently than what I did. There's an incredible opportunity to learn from those who have gone before us and those who are very talented at what they do. And I think that's what Christians need to be doing. I think that we need to step it up. We need to take our craft seriously. I have a whole list of sort of principles that I'm going to go through in a few minutes here. But we need to take this seriously. We need to take it seriously on the same level that a Steven Spielberg takes it seriously. And these guys, I mean, they were, Steven Spielberg was sneaking into the closet on the back lot of studios trying to hear conversations between a director and an editor and find out how they make decisions about how they're going to edit their film. And he dropped out of film school so that he could start working. But he worked his way up from the bottom. And he, you know, any filmmaker who's become successful, it takes a minimum of 5 to 10 years to really get to the point where your craft is well honed and you build respect among peers in the film industry, and you network and you meet other people, and you're challenged. And as a believer, I think it's a great challenge for us to get out there in the world where your faith is going to be challenged, because the majority of the people that you're working with don't believe what you do. So, and they're very outspoken about it, and they like to challenge you. And they'll dig to the deep, deep issues of faith. And you'll have an opportunity to grow in your faith like you never would being among just a group of Christians. And not only will you grow in your faith, but obviously, like John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, you'll be becoming the Word made flesh among the community that you're working with and living with, and hopefully forming friendships and common interests. So that's what I want to talk about today. These are a couple of TV series that I worked on. I don't know if you guys saw the Elvis miniseries on CBS. It was 2005. That was a fun project to work on. Laguna Beach, well, I'm going to hold my comments on these projects. one thing that you do need to think about, though, when you go to work in the mainstream entertainment industry is God has to give you wisdom and guidance. I mean, it can be a very sensitive situation as far as weighing these ideas of sacred versus secular and holiness versus compromise. There's a lot of ability for you to compromise personally in the work that you do, and obviously you have to listen to your conscience as God is leading you. There's no black and white guide where you can say, I'll work on this project that has this content, and I won't work on this project with this content. Obviously, you have to make boundaries for yourself, or else you're just going to be swimming in a sea of disillusion, and you'll begin to lose your zeal and your faith, and maybe fall away from God. So it's serious, and you can't take it lightly. But these ideas here, sacred versus secular, holiness versus compromise, are some things that I've wrestled with quite a bit over the last 7 years, and even prior to going to Los Angeles. And I'm assuming that probably a lot of you in this room who are filmmakers, and especially if you're in film school, you're trying to weigh this out. Like, now if I go work on a show like Laguna Beach, can I work on a show like that? There's the storylines of girls and guys getting together, and it's really sensual, and it kind of depends on what position or what role you take in a production. If you have to see the images over and over and over again, and these scenes play out in front of you, then yeah, it could be a problem for you. And I guess it also depends on your personal strengths and weaknesses, and you definitely need to know what those are. I'm going to get more into some principles that you can follow. But first, before I do that, the church has typically seen Hollywood as a wasteland of sin and corruption, a depraved and lawless group of people who express passionate disgust for traditional moral values and Christianity, both in their personal lives and in the entertainment they create. Yet the majority of Christians who consider filmmaking their career are focused on making Christian film, media, or entertainment better for Christians. And of course, there's a place for using filmmaking within the church, and there's a good use for it in missions. But as an artist and as a filmmaker, consider the community of the broad community of filmmakers that exist. Any sort of online form that you would get on, like Vimeo or other filmmakers that you might share your films with, and you watch theirs. There's a huge community of filmmakers out there, and a majority of them are non-believers. And so, as a filmmaker, you have the responsibility to be an influence on those people. And I know this is going to sound really harsh, but Christian films aimed at the Christian market are not evangelistic. Can't say the word. Are not evangelistic. In general, because the world, who cares nothing about Christianity whatsoever, isn't going to go watch a film that's about church people going to church. We just got to be a little bit wiser about this, about what we're doing here. I'm not saying there's something wrong with using films within the church to edify the church. I just want to make that disclaimer. But if it's our goal at all to reach the world, then I think that we need to go to them, become like them, not in sin, but in culture and style and the way we talk as filmmakers, the passion that we have for filmmaking, we can share with them, and we can build bridges to where they have their opinions and you have yours, and they will respect what you have to say when you have a relationship with them. But there's a lot of barriers that exist with mainstream filmmakers. If they find out you're a Christian, there's a lot of hostility that exists. And so you want them to get to know you as a person first before they know your words or what you believe about Jesus. They should see your life first, especially in the entertainment industry. There's other effect. Obviously, preaching is very effective in the church. It's effective to do evangelism by using your words in certain contexts, but in Hollywood or New York or any of these major entertainment centers, they need to get to know you first, and they need to know that you care about them. So how can we be a force for cultural transformation if we are not involved in mainstream culture? This is Jesus here said, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want to show you a clip here really quick from Johnny Cash. I don't know if you guys have seen the Hurt music video, song that he covered. It was a Nine Inch Nails song that Trent Reznor wrote. And I think it's really revealing of what celebrities go through. I mean, they're thrown a ton of cash. People throw themselves at their feet. And the world to them is a completely different place than the world for us. And I think as we watch this music video really quickly, Johnny Cash sort of did his own version, and I believe Johnny Cash had faith in Christ, which you can kind of get probably from this video. But just remember that Trent Reznor was the one who wrote it originally, and there's many others just like Trent Reznor in Hollywood.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away. but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away.
Pretty powerful music video. Would you agree? So how then do we engage culture as filmmakers for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God outside the walls of the church? We first have to realize that Jesus has placed us in the world. So we typically, as Christians, this makes us uncomfortable, and we spend a lot of time and effort trying to escape the world. But what does Jesus have to say about us being in the world? And I'm going to read for you John 17, 11 through 18. I know it's kind of a long passage, but it's pretty powerful. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. This is Jesus. He's praying. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Actually. And then just before that, John 16:33, and I just closed my Bible so I can't find it. just before Jesus prays that prayer, he says something that I just think is very revealing to what we should expect as Christians living in the world and being missional in the world. It's John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So even though it might be really intimidating to put yourself in a situation where there's people all around you who are testing you, trying your faith, believe completely differently than you, and essentially hate everything about you, that's where Jesus calls us to go. And as filmmakers, if we can, if God is calling you to that, which obviously it takes a huge sacrifice and commitment in order to do that. Like I was saying before, you can't think that you're just going to walk right in and become a director of a feature film, or that you're going to win an Oscar in the first couple years making films. It never happens. It's, you know, that might be a dream, but I'm sorry, I'm here to crush that dream. If you want to be sincere about your career as a filmmaker, then my suggestion is that you learn from the filmmakers who are doing it well. You find them, find somebody that you can learn from, and learn from them. So we have created a Christian subculture that is an alternative to secular culture and entertainment. Unfortunately, Christian music, Christian film, it's very separate from the rest of the society. And alternative culture breeds an alternative gospel. A gospel that no longer is the power to overcome sin or to deliver people from depravity, but a gospel that says, well, we can be safe from the outside world and we can watch Christian films or listen to Christian music where we won't be influenced by the world. But the problem with that is that then those who are in the world, who we're supposed to be relating with, that we're supposed to have relationships with, don't have a clue what we're talking about. I mean, we have Christian everything to keep us separated from the outside world. So my point is, how do we not do that? How do we get involved in mainstream culture, mainstream entertainment? We place ourselves in the world among non-believers. As a filmmaker, pursue a career in the mainstream entertainment industry. Hire and or include non-believers from your artistic community in the productions you create. So if you're making films about mission, take some non-believers with you. Find a DP that's incredibly talented, or a musician, or a sound guy, and take them with you. Take them overseas. Let them just see what God is doing. And if you creatively come up with a story that's engaging, they'll want to come with you, because they're filmmakers. They want to tell stories. Filmmakers are always looking for a reason to tell a new story. So you can get them to come with you. Content creators, meaning writers, directors, follow the same path as any other filmmaker within the mainstream entertainment industry and display Christ to non-believers. Here's a couple examples. How many of you know who Tom Shadyac is? I've seen Liar Liar or Bruce Almighty, Evan Almighty. Okay, a couple. So he's a Christian, and obviously, if you've seen any of these films, he's right there in the mainstream, and he's very good friends with Jim Carrey. And I truly believe that if Jim Carrey's going to come to Christ, which I thought I had heard at one point that maybe he was taking a sabbatical and sort of thinking about his relationship with God. I don't really know. I don't know Jim Carrey, but Tom Shadyac is right there, and he's good friends with him, and he's a believer. And we need guys like that. We need people like that to be there among them. A couple other guys, John Shepherd and Stephen Miccoviti, Empower Pictures. How many of you know of Empower Pictures or have heard of them? couple. So they did the film Bella, Stoning of Sorora M, which is going to come out on DVD in March. It was a limited theatrical release. And the film As We Forgive, which they did, I think they partnered with the Pretty Brothers and a couple other production companies. And then Tyler Perry, has anyone seen the Diary of a Mad Black Woman? That movie is so hilarious. Great, great example of comedy filmmaking from a believer who knows his audience and understands how to represent Christ in the mainstream. And obviously has other Madea films and theater that he does and TV shows, and he's like a one-man studio all by himself. But what I really respect about Tyler Perry is that he gets on Oprah. Oprah asks him about his faith, and he just lays out the gospel, just straightforward. He's not ashamed. He's not hiding it. And I think the biggest critique that filmmakers or artists get who are involved in the mainstream entertainment industry is that, yeah, it's great that you're working on, you know, the next big film, but are you having any kind of impact in what you're doing? And I think it's really hard from the outside to measure that. It's really hard for people, especially being an audience member watching a film and then hearing something about the filmmaker. You don't know what's going on in their personal life. You don't know the kind of conversations that they're having behind the scenes with other actors and filmmakers and artists, musicians. In my own situation, someone could look at me and say, hey, yeah, you worked on all those different films that are not Christian films and TV series, and but where's the fruit? And there's a group of about 20 people that I've been praying for regularly for at least 5-6 years, relationships that I've had for a long period of time, and several of them, including a guy named Jason Wiles, who is a good friend of mine. He's an actor. He was Bosco on Third Watch. He's the lead in a new show called Persons Unknown. It's a Fox show, and I think they're releasing it through NBC. I'm not sure when it's coming out. There's like a trailer online you can watch. But we did a couple films together, and we worked on developing a couple projects together. We've had many, many hour-long conversations about Jesus Christ and the gospel and him asking me questions about my life and why do you not do this and why do you do this. And I usually get sort of the dumbfounded look when I'm having conversations with others in the entertainment industry who have a stereotype in their mind of what a Christian is. They assume that I'm judgmental, that I'm brainwashed, that I don't think for myself. And yet, when they challenge me to read books that they think are going to open my mind and convert me to atheism or whatever other belief system they have, I read it and I say, hey, I'll read this book. You read the Gospel of John. How about that? So that's worked out pretty well so far. So my friend Jason, he asked me if I could give him the New Testament, and he was sort of wanted to get it on CD, so I gave him that Word of Promise New Testament. And he said he was listening to it every day the last time I spoke with him, which was quite a while ago, probably a year ago. He's going through some stuff. And in any case, he could use prayer, and ironically enough, that show that he got cast as one of the leads, he played a Jesuit priest. So at the time when we were having these conversations, we were actually working on developing another film that was in pre-production that never ended up happening. And so I was able to give him that New Testament. And it was just when he found out that he got cast as a lead in the show. And it was just sort of one of those ironic things, you know, that, well, maybe God had him get this role playing a Jesuit priest, and sort of he saw it as research in a sense of reading, of hearing the New Testament. few other examples. I don't know if you've heard of the Doorpost Film Project. Raise of hands. Anyone hear of the Doorpost Film Project? It's pretty incredible what these guys are doing with their film festival. Their mission vision statement on the website is online community of filmmakers, a short film contest, and a platform for investigating truth. So they're inviting any filmmaker, no matter what kind of background they come from, regardless of their religion or their beliefs, to investigate truth in the films that they create. And they're offering some pretty amazing prizes for the people who, I guess, submit their filmmaking to them. They're going to give away $40,000 to five filmmakers who win this contest of submitting their work to them, so that they can make a short film that will then be judged in the contest. And the winner of the contest from last year got $100,000 for winning the contest. So they're trying to really give an opportunity for people who are investigating truth in their filmmaking. They're encouraging that by funding some of these films. So you should check it out. The one that won for last year, The Butterfly Circus, I think is an incredible example of visual storytelling. Just if you haven't seen it, go and watch it, because it's a good example of Christians telling a story that gets across a very, very clear message that I think anybody from any religious or non-religious background can understand and appreciate. The second thing would be pursue God Himself as your number one ambition. That might sound simplistic, but you have to. I mean, if you're going to be a filmmaker and be constantly around non-believers, and you have to do this. And I love this quote by John Piper: "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him." And if you're going to try to become a filmmaker in Los Angeles, you have to be satisfied in God, because it's just an up and down roller coaster. It's not predictable. You'll have a job and then be without a job for a period of time. And you're constantly networking and sending out hundreds of resumes to try to get a job. It just takes a long time to get there. So it's worth the sacrifice. Don't lose your saltiness. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Learn your craft. Go to film school if you can. Get professional training as much as you possibly can. Learn from successful filmmakers who have gone before you. Watch a lot of films. In order to understand film, and in order to understand and speak the language of filmmakers and the language of cinema, you have to watch a lot of movies. Most filmmakers who are very, very serious about this as a profession watch so many films, it's just ridiculous. My mind would spin just thinking about it. They watch maybe 3 or 4 films a day sometimes. And, you know, obviously you have to use some discernment in what kind of films you're watching. Let your conscience guide you in that. But if you don't watch a lot of films, then when you get into conversations with other people who love film, you're not really engaged in the conversation. So that's why you really have to watch films. And anytime, all the films that I've worked on, almost every scene, whether we're cutting it or whether we're setting up and during production and the DP setting up the shot, the director will say, "Hey, you remember that scene from such and such a movie? That's what I want to do in this scene." I mean, it's the language of film. That's just how people communicate. And find a mentor who is successful in their trade and learn from them with an attitude of humility, whether they're a film editor, cinematographer, writer, director, producer, or other department on a film crew. 99% of the successful filmmakers in Hollywood are not Christians. Don't be afraid to learn from them. God gave them their talents. You will find great favor if you approach them with a humble servant attitude. And this one is really important. Become a servant of all. This is even more important outside the church then maybe it is inside the church. I want to read for you really quickly Mark 10, 42 through 45. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all." And I think this resonates back to what Patrick Fung of OMF said last night, and discussing the book that he wrote about, I can't remember the title of the book, but basically becoming a nobody for the sake of the gospel. You have to become a nobody when you try to get your first jobs in the entertainment industry. If you come in with an attitude of pridefulness, you can do it better than the other people that are above you, or you know, you make comments about the cinematography, or you know, you complain about the production of the film and you could do a better job. I mean, nobody's going to want to work with you. And here's a couple things I wrote. Make your boss look really good. Save the day by going above and beyond your job description. Now, the life of Joseph and Daniel are very good examples of how they succeeded. And what you might normally think that Christians would have a very hard time gaining respect because of their beliefs, they actually gained respect because of how they lived out their walk with God. And in the darkness that exists in Hollywood or any mainstream entertainment community, when you have the light, it shows up very distinctly. The attributes that God creates in us when He changes our hearts and turns us away from sin and turns us towards Himself are the kind of character traits that every filmmaker is looking for. I mean, they want somebody who's not going to talk behind their back or is going to tell them the truth, even if it costs them something. It's an incredible value that you can't overlook. And something that we have that the rest of the world doesn't have if they don't have Jesus Christ. There's never a lack of problems to solve in the film or television industry. And this provides you an amazing opportunity to gain respect and influence with those in positions over you who are depending on you to make it happen so that they don't get put on the chopping block by their boss. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. And if you come through, if you save the day for the boss that's above you, next time you get laid off from that show and then they're going to produce another show, next time they come to hiring somebody, you're going to be the first person that they call. And that's how you gain favor in working in the film industry, is by being the servant of all, by putting yourself out there and working harder than other people and not complaining. Because especially on studio films and larger productions, there's a lot of whiners on the crew. The actors, they all complain. They have 10,000 complaints, and unfortunately, as a line producer, I'm the one that gets to hear all the complaints. And I'm basically a babysitter of kids that are backbiting each other. And one quick story I just thought of, our sound guy on the last film, The Job, he had wired a scene and placed microphones in a certain place. And he was trying to get the first AD to give him a run-through of the scene with, you know, with dialogue so that he could check and see if his mic placement was going to work. And of course, there's always that tension between first AD and anybody on the crew that wants to take any time to do anything. So they got in sort of a, I guess the first AD made some kind of comment about him in front of everybody else and made fun of him about how we're always waiting on the sound guy. And it really upset him. And it just kept happening all along. And he said, he came to me and he told me the situation. He said, I'm not recording sound anymore on this film until you get the first AD to apologize to me. So, you know, it happens a lot. Avoid an us and them mentality. Treat non-Christians with genuine respect and love. Take a sincere interest in who they are and what they care about. Avoid hot-button issues that stir up controversy and build walls between Christians and non-Christians. It's really just not worth it, especially when it comes to politics. Jesus didn't really get involved in politics, and I think it's good advice for us not to when it comes to what kind of conversations we're going to have with somebody who has a belief system that's pretty much the opposite of what we believe. Arguing politics is never going to advance the gospel with non-believers. Find similar interests and use them to build bridges. You will experience spiritual warfare, so be prepared. Like I said, and I'm sure it's pretty evident that the mainstream entertainment industry is an extremely dark place. Non-believers who persecute you or revile you are not your enemy. Our enemy is Satan. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we have to realize that you will face persecution, but don't take it personally. Ephesians 6, 2 Corinthians 10:3, good places to read. Put on your spiritual armor. You're probably all familiar with that who have been believers for any period of time. Join a solid community of believers. This is probably the most important thing that you can do if you're going to work in the midst of non-believers, is you have to have a solid community of believers that you meet with regularly, multiple times a week, outside of the church. You have to live life with these people. And you have to be accountable to them. You're going to have... I had situations where I was offered a job, and it was sort of like there's this huge gray area where you sort of know what the show is about, but you're not really sure what the content is. You kind of get the gist of it, but it could go either way. It could either be drastically depraved or it could be sort of okay, you know, and getting hired on that production. And you need to have people, strong believers there that can pray with you, that can really intercede for you and believe that God is going to speak to you, that He's going to direct your path, because it's a slippery path to try to stay on. It's incredibly hard, but we have to do it. We're called to do it. Pray, read the Word, and fast regularly. Be serious about spiritual disciplines. You may be okay in a part of the country where there's a lot of believers, sort of living a nominal Christian life. You might be fine. You might not get sucked away into sin. But the entertainment industry is a vortex. And you'll get chewed up and spit out in no time if you're not regularly communing with God and practicing spiritual disciplines. Get educated in your mission. I have a couple books here. And they have all these in the bookstore. Culture Making by Andy Crouch. Great book. Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment by Brian Godawa, and also Word Pictures, Knowing God Through Story and Imagination by Brian Godawa. Brian's a screenwriter in Los Angeles and has a great perspective on how, as Christians, we should be discerning culture and story and filmmaking and how to apply that to what we watch, and also what kind of films we create. And then the last one here is Take Perspectives on the World Christian Movement, which you might not think would be directly applicable to the entertainment industry, if you know what it is. But it's a course that my wife and I took earlier this year, and almost everything that was discussed in that class directly applied to reaching the lost in the entertainment industry. It's cross-cultural, contextualizing the gospel, building bridges. I highly recommend that you take Perspectives. You can get on their website at perspectives.org. They have classes, I think, in hundreds of places across the country, and I'd highly recommend that you take that class. Couple last things, and then I'm going to let you ask questions. A friend of mine, the guy that wrote, directed, and produced The Job, who I've become very close friends with, told me after being friends with him for probably a year or longer, we've had so many hours and hours of conversations about God. He said to me, "The worst thing I can imagine happening to me is that one of my kids would become a Christian." That's absolutely the worst possible thing that he could imagine, like not getting in a car wreck and dying, but your kid becoming a Christian. So that illustrates the mentality. And for whatever reason, by God's grace, we're very close friends. We talk to each other on a very regular basis. Anytime he has any questions about production or budgets or anything on any project that he's working on, he calls me. We have coffee together on a regular basis. And he always, without fail, the subject of God comes up. He just keeps on asking and asking and asking. And so back to what Remez Atala said, to go even if they don't listen to you, that it's a long process. It takes a long time. You have to be in it for the long haul. And you have to be diligent to keep on. I do want to show you one more video, and this is a recent development and sort of a strategy that we're developing alongside with working on productions in the entertainment industry. We're developing a series of films that we're calling a video magazine. It's called Rise. I'm partnering with some missionaries at the U.S. Center for World Mission in Pasadena to get to find stories. And bringing along several of the filmmakers that I've worked with for a long period of time in Hollywood to work on these productions that are telling the stories of missionaries, of social justice issues, where missions and where God is really moving in the world. And so, you know, this is definitely something that can be used. And I think strategically, and as far as reaching non-believers, bringing them into the process is extremely important. And one of the people that's already committed to editing some of the films is, his name is Dan Padgett, and he edited, he was an editor on Royal Tenenbaums, Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. He's worked on every Wes Anderson film pretty much, except for the last two, Fox and the Hound and the previous film to that. And he's not a believer. So many of the people that I've worked with have responded very positively to stories where there's redemption involved. But I think the main reason that they're so interested in these stories is because of the human side of the story, of the human condition. It's a principle that everybody understands, the human condition, and seeing how someone's life can be transformed. And so here is the first film that we're going to do as part of Rise. It's a trailer, a minute and a half long. Our first documentary for Rise Video Magazine is about Esteban Mendoza, who's a former Mexican drug cartel leader. While in prison, became a follower of Jesus Christ and started a church that became more than 600 people. And it so much transformed the lives of those who were involved that the government took notice and allowed Esteban to get out of prison after only serving 3 years of a 33-year sentence.
Yo antes robaba trailers cargados de Sacramento a Los Ángeles y de San Diego aquí a Tijuana traía trailers, big truck, como Kingwood, Perrysville. Cuando a mí me deportaron, yo cuando llegué aquí a Tijuana yo no tenía dónde llegar y cuando me sacaron a la línea, la migra, ahí en la pura puerta estaba el pastor Esteban Mendoza, yo no lo conocía a él y él a mí. Pastor Esteban acababa de salir de la prisión de la mesa. Cuando yo llegué, el pastor Esteban tenía un ministerio en las calles de darle de comer a los hombres, a todos los que andan en la calle, ahí en el río, cerca de la línea. y ahí estuvimos dándoles de comer. Ahorita tenemos dos días, que es sábado y domingo, se juntan alrededor de 150 personas. Todas las personas con problemas de droga. Y de ahí se empezó a dar lo que es el Ministerio de la Rehabilitación.
Since being released from prison, Estevan has been able to start 40 indigenous churches and lead more than 4,000 men through a drug rehabilitation program. I believe the medium of film has the power to inspire and to engage our generation.
I have these postcards that are on the table back there for RISE, so you can get the website and a little bit of information about what we're doing. And if anybody has, I'm going to open it up to questions and they're going to pass around a microphone. If anybody would like to meet with me, I'm here until through New Year's Eve. I'd be happy to meet with anybody here who's serious about going to Los Angeles. I've never lived in New York City, so if you're planning on going there, I could probably talk to you about the mainstream entertainment industry, but if you have any plans to go to Los Angeles, I'd be happy to meet with you, have lunch or dinner or whatever, and pray with you and answer any questions that you have. So come up after the question and answer, and I'll give you my cell phone number or something. You can text me, whatever. We'll figure out how to get together. All right, so question and answer. Questions? Uh-oh, you got passed by.
Oh, that's okay. Like, she would have been able to see me. Awesome. I had another question, but after seeing that. Okay, so there's a shot of the guy, like, shooting up. Like, what... I'm particularly interested in, like, documentary filmmaking. Where is the line of, like, your subject and, like, coming in when... I don't think I would have been able to shoot something like that without being, like, don't do it or something. Is there some type of line or boundaries that you're pre-making with a subject in the interview process or something where do you think it's appropriate to share the gospel or like interact and say, oh, I think this is negative or positive when you're still trying to like portray the reality of the situation of your subject? Like, what, I don't know.
Well, like I included that one in there. We were near the canal on the border of Tijuana, and there's a lot of drug users in the canal. I mean, so many of them that they're just right there, right in the open. This particular guy, someone who was taking us there to see they were feeding the people on the up above, knew this guy, and he said, "Hey, we have some cameras here, and do you mind if they shoot you while you're, you know, shooting up, doing drugs?" And he was like, he said he didn't mind at all. And honestly, I felt like in the moment, the reason why he probably didn't mind that we do that, and he said that he's trying to quit, is because he wants people to see the fact that it's really happening. It's a real thing. I mean, we all know that it happens, but I guess just visually seeing that. I mean, certainly there's definitely a line of exploitation where you don't want to exploit people, you know, and just show poor images of people with flies around their head for the sake of trying to get an emotional response out of it. I think it's a gray line, so I think you just have to use some kind of discernment in the situation.
I was wondering, why two questions quickly. What do you think about when the church tells people not to go see movies like The Golden Compass or The Da Vinci Code? And also, what do you think Jesus would have to say about super expensive mega movies like Avatar, for example? Like, they have a good story, but also they cost like $500 million to make.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think Jesus, if he liked the film, I think he would go and see it. Because he didn't have to spend the money on that film. I mean, I guess from a societal standpoint and being responsible with what we have as Americans in light of what other people around the world don't have, you could say that that's pretty irresponsible in that sense. But then again, you could probably go that direction with almost any industry, and you could start nailing, you know, all kinds of people. Like, do we need to have luxury cars? Do we need to have mansion houses? I mean, they're not believers, and I guess, you know, as far as Christians making films, I sort of do have that, you know, question in my mind where it's like, should we spend $5 million on a film? And particularly for me, if that money is say a nonprofit organization or ministries that are putting up that money, this is just my own opinion. But I feel like it would go better probably to go directly to missions work on the field. And the reason I say that is because I don't think that films inherently are the best form of evangelism. They're not interaction between people. And the filmmaker from yesterday, T.C. Johnston, we were talking last night, and he said he's heard this from other filmmakers, and it's sort of the struggle that Christian filmmakers have, is that either your film is seen and not heard, or heard and not seen. And what he meant by that was, if your film presents the gospel clearly in a clear gospel presentation, then it usually doesn't get seen. Just for whatever reason, just doesn't get distributed. If your film gets seen, then it probably isn't getting heard, as far as evangelism is concerned. It's certainly something that Christians who are filmmakers wrestle with, and I don't think I have all the answers to it, but those are my thoughts on it.
I thought about being a playwright, actually. And as a writer, I feel like sometimes this nearly bothers my mind. This is such a naive question, if you think about it. How much can I allow? How much the degree of sensuality, the exposure, visual exposure to sensuality, can I allow in my script? Like how much is okay? The degree of visual exposure to sensuality, human sensuality.
How much sensuality could you show?
Can we really allow in our films? Like how much visual exposure is okay?
That's a tough issue for Christians. I mean, personally, when I'm working with non-believers and they're making films where there's sensuality shown on screen, I would prefer it to be obviously respectfully done. If there's a married couple and you don't really see everything, I mean, there's ways that filmmakers can do that, and it's certainly much more acceptable. As a Christian filmmaker, I mean, I don't know. I guess you got to kind of figure that one out. I'm not sure. I would have a hard time doing that.
Mark.
Oh, cool.
And so I just graduated school last week. So.
Good job.
But I've worked for Sesame Workshop, I've worked for the History Channel, and now I'm working for BBC. But all of my bosses say not to go to grad school. But I think as Christians and as a Latina, I think that higher education is really important. So what would you suggest? I want to do editing. So what would you suggest to either stay in the field and not go to grad school or push grad school?
If you know that your career is going to be in film editing, then I would say stay in the field. And unless you want to teach film editing, then you would probably have to get a master's or doctorate degree.
My name is Shannon. Kurt, I just want to thank you for coming and speaking.
Thank you.
I've been out in LA for about 5-6 years as well.
Oh, cool.
And so just want to kind of partner, we'll kind of touch base, but want to partner with Kurt as well. Kind of going out there blind, not knowing anybody and stuff. And if anybody's seriously considering going out and trying to find work and how you work your way up and how do you get a job and how do you deal with some of these situations that you've talked about, I'd love to make myself available as well. So I'll just be up here afterwards. You can come find me. Just, you know, been on situations where, you know, the Johnny Cash film, which I actually worked on, able to share Christ.
So do you know the director?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was able to share Christ with people on that set that you couldn't have access to if you didn't pay those you know, pay the price to kind of work those hours and kind of do that stuff. So it's a mission field as real as India, Africa, anywhere else. And so just want to challenge you and encourage you. It's just a place to go and share the word of Christ and the gospel. So.
And it's international as well.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, like as a single woman, what does it look like to minister to people? Because I've already experienced stuff in film where, you know, you get put in situations with guys who it turns into kind of a little bit of emotional thing where it's hard because they're asking all these questions, but as a female, it's hard not to get emotionally involved. And
that's a good question. I'm not female, so I haven't experienced that myself yet. I guess when you're saying emotionally involved, are you saying that it tends to, you know, they're wanting to get involved in a relationship, guy-girl relationship, romantic relationship? Is that the struggle, or?
Yes, but then also, like, protecting yourself.
Right.
What is your opinion on, like, girl, guy?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot said on that biblically, as far as what those relationships should be like. Obviously, you know, if you're flirting with the guy and trying to preach the gospel at the same time, it's probably, I mean, I'm sure that's not what you're referring to, but I would say that it's like any other ministry. You know, if you're in the church or doing evangelism and you're a woman evangelizing to a man, I'm not real sure how it's different in the entertainment industry.
What is it like to be a female in the film?
Favorite directors is, now I'm going to forget her name. Wow. Who directed Twilight? Can someone help me out? Catherine Hardwicke. She's an incredible film director. And she's had a lot of success. She did the Nativity story, which I thought was a pretty good film. And so, as far as for women, there's a lot of opportunity in the entertainment industry. The entertainment industry, well, it's a liberal culture, so they're very open to women. There's women studio heads, and women can do very well in the entertainment industry.
Considering that the culture is so anti-Christian, have you found that it's difficult finding work because of your faith?
It's not difficult finding work, as long as you're respectful in the way you conduct yourself as a Christian. If you get a reputation as being a Jesus freak or, you know, on set, which, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to just be really serious about your faith, but it just depends on how you display that. I think if you genuinely have relationships with the people that you're working with and you care about them, they'll see that. And as long as you're not quoting Bible verses to them and trying to tell them how to live their life, then I think you'll probably do pretty well. I mean, as non-believers, we shouldn't expect them to live to the same standards that we do. And so I think it's really important to realize that in any kind of ministry, business's mission, or any environment that you're in. But if you're respectful towards them, they're going to want to hear what you have to say, and they'll ask questions. Your life will drastically stand out if you're living a life that's following Christ.
Could you talk a little bit more about how you become part of the culture, but don't compromise your ideals? I mean, what are your personal experiences? And, like, do you go to the parties that they go to, or is that kind of?
I mean, there's a wide range of parties, so I'd probably get in trouble if I said, "Oh yeah, I go to all the parties they go to." I do go to parties for friends of mine who throw parties and invite lots of people to come, and you know, I think it's perfectly acceptable to have a social life, and you know, Jesus threw great, huge parties. He turned the water into wine at Cana. You know, I have some boundaries about, depends on what, you know, whether you struggle, if you struggle with alcohol, don't drink alcohol. But, you know, if it's not a big deal to have a beer or one glass of wine, or just don't partake. And no one's going to judge you. No one's going to say, oh my gosh, you're such a prude because you won't drink a glass of wine. Or, I mean, they're just going to see that as like, okay, well, they're probably going to ask you a question. Well, why are you not drinking? And then you can say, well, it's my conviction because I follow Christ. Whatever, just tell them how it is for you, from the heart.
Hi, my name's Brandon. I'm a student at UMBC in Maryland. And I'm a video art student there. And unfortunately, there's this big one to create. And I didn't have advice or words of encouragement, specifically in regards to first breaking out on like being a sentence.
Do you know where you're going to go to be a PA? Probably one of the larger cities, or okay. I mean, you can certainly learn on the job the technical aspects and the production etiquette and things like that. I mean, if you're going to a school that teaches those things, it gives you an advantage. Certainly. Do you see yourself as playing a content creator or creative role after you're? I mean, you're working your way up to. What's your goal then? Yeah, I mean, what you're learning in the creative abstract sense will probably really help you to come up with new ideas when you're, whatever project you're going to be doing eventually. So you could probably just pick up the production etiquette on the set. I mean, you're not going to be pursuing a career in as a crew member of a production, it sounds like. So, I mean, as far as editorial, I would definitely recommend get involved in post-production. Be a post-PA or a runner, intern, something like that.
So I'm going to graduate in a year, and it'd be cool to work my way there. But to get to that point, I feel like there's a lot of, I would have to work.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't know, probably the gray lines and stuff.
Yeah.
What you do and what you don't do is just like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's certainly a struggle. I guess I would ask the question, who are you trying to reach? If you're trying to reach the filmmakers themselves, then by making films with content that reveals the gospel or truth is probably not the primary means by which you'll actually influence the other filmmakers themselves. Yeah, it could be an influence. But I would say that it's much more powerful and long-term having a relationship with that person and displaying Christ to them in your relationship. As far as compromise yourself, it is very hard. I mean, you try to work on shows that, like a Discovery Channel show or certain feature films that are like PG or PG-13 or something like that. I mean, it's great when you can work on a family film or get involved in that crowd of people. So it's something that you certainly need to weigh and try to figure out. And unfortunately, it's something that I struggle with and have been struggling with. And I don't know that I have a very distinct answer for you to tell you how to do that. I think the important thing, though, is that we do struggle with it. Because if we don't struggle through that, if we don't become uncomfortable for the lost, then the lost are still going to be lost. So even though it hurts, it's painful, you know, you may not be looking forward to all the trials that you're going to go through, but if you think of it eternally, I think that's any missionary has to think that way. I know he had a question. I mean, you could probably just ask her. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to ask in terms of a creative standpoint, I don't know how much experience generating a project or generating content that is sort of positive than, you know, the sex and violence and everything else within. Have you ever been involved in a project that you have sort of initiated in terms of, and through the process of gaining support and having your project produced, have you ever felt as if you've lost you had lost control in terms of its content. Like maybe it started out, you know, positive and something that, you know, could be Christ-like and could be something that's positive for the masses, and winds up losing control and becoming something just like everything else out there.
Well, that's certainly a good concern to have. And myself, I have not been working in that role, as I'm not a writer, I'm not a director. I have written and directed some projects of my own, but not as a commercial venture. Those are definitely real concerns to have. And something that needs to be realized is that when you have a majority of people running the studios and the networks and the cable channels who are not believers, that's just going to keep being a hindrance over and over and over again. There are some Christians that have, you know, gotten involved, and so you can some opportunity to get some projects off the ground. I worked on Bella, which I think was a good example of a film that, I mean, I wasn't the content creator of the film, so I did post-production supervision on the film as a digital intermediate project manager for that particular film. Empower Pictures, I think, is just a great example of a company where if you're creating content that can be marketed to a broader audience and yet has positive themes and is family friendly and just a good, solid, good story, good movie, it'd be good to take your scripts to them or to, I mean, maybe Walden Media or there's other companies that might possibly be interested in doing that kind of a film.
So, I'm sorry, just a follow-up question to that. I do appreciate your insight on that, but on those lines, so would you say that in terms of working in Hollywood, at least certainly starting out, do you feel like you can make a bigger impact by influencing the people who are in charge, by working as, you know, a living witness to Christ and his, you know, his your involvement in, you know, church activities, spiritual activities? Would you say that you make a bigger impact in Hollywood by not necessarily striving to create the content, but striving to influence those who are?
Absolutely. Absolutely, for sure. That's a huge... The struggle for Christian filmmakers is that the studio doesn't really want to tell the kinds of stories that Christians want to tell, usually, and for good reason. And so, yeah, I found it much, much more effective as a filmmaker to take... to do the craft that you do to the glory of God, and do all things unto the Lord, and then become incarnational, reaching the people around you. Definitely more effective. Yeah, go ahead. Or whoever has...
I got a question.
Okay.
Could you speak to the kind of professional dichotomy of your work in the mainstream as a filmmaker who is a Christian, and now, as it appears with this Rise project, mm-hmm. kind of stepping out as a Christian filmmaker, or now starting to create some content on your own,
yeah.
that is bringing a message with it?
Yeah, yeah. I just see it as another launching pad. If I hadn't spent the last 7 years working in the mainstream entertainment industry, I wouldn't have the relationships with non-believers where they would want to come and work with me. So it's something that God has led us towards this year, and I hope that it's effective. I really, you know, believe that it's a great opportunity to do that and involve them in these stories, and that it will become their story at some point. But I stay very connected. I mean, as far as with other non-believers, I'm really close friends with. So it's now that I'm part of that community, now that I've established those relationships, it gives me the opportunity to do that. So I would encourage anyone who would like to produce films for missions, I would just encourage you to spend some time working in the mainstream, because you're going to learn from really great, talented people. You're going to be incarnational, living among them. And then when you decide to do your own projects at some point, you can bring them with you. So, okay, one more question.
My question is a little more practical. I'm a student, and what are some really practical ways that once I graduate, or once anyone graduates, or anyone who's just looking to kind of break into the industry, what are practical ways someone could go about doing that?
First, I would say try to get rid of as much debt as you can, which if you've just gone to school and racked up a lot of school debt, that might be kind of hard to do. But I mean, especially credit card debt. Pay off your credit card debt. Save up some money. I would say approach it, if you're planning on being missional, approach it as if you're a missionary that's going to another country. Build a support team, a prayer team, have a newsletter. Get people on board with what you're doing, and possibly even raise some money to help you get started, because it costs a lot of money to move out to Los Angeles, and you can get in trouble financially, which brings a lot of stress and causes you to have to sometimes make poor decisions to work on something that you wouldn't normally work on. All things that you should consider. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I've had the great privilege to be in the mainstream film industry for close. Never lived in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm from North Carolina.
Yeah.
So in somewhat of a way to help her answer her question, North Carolina, Georgia, and New Orleans, Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana, probably the three most productive areas of feature films in America today. Because so much of the film work is not is affordably made in Los Angeles, so they go out on production. The great privilege that I've had is that they're outside of LA, and they're in a small town, and they're very dependent upon the people who live in that town, and they get to know the heart of the people in that town. And that is it's a safer area to some degree to be able to have entrance to directors, writers, producers, and in a sense I've had the great privilege of being able to do that my whole career. And many times I've prayed that God would take me out of this industry. Mm-hmm. But then I'd get letters from actors or other individuals who would say, you know, if you hadn't stopped prayed for me that day, this would have happened, or this or that and the other. And they just said, if you leave the industry, you're one less light that's in the midst of a really very dark world. And they would just continually encourage me. And if God calls me away tomorrow, then I'll leave tomorrow. And it's partly why I'm at Urbana. I may be one of those second lifers. I've done my 30 years, seen my name on that screen hundreds of times. And I was just telling this young man sitting beside me that after a while, that really has no meaning. Emmys have no meaning. They do to some degree. They give you entrance point into being able to help other believers. And I did win an Emmy 12 years ago. And that then gave me a new way of getting into churches and say, look, when I got there, the scripture that came to my mind immediately was Matthew 11 that said, don't store up treasures on earth that people can come in and steal. It can rust. But instead, store up treasures in heaven. I mean, these are the nuggets that get deposited into us as believers, that if we'll hang on to those, when we have our levels of success along the way, those nuggets will be the things that will sustain us. But I would encourage anybody who's young and new, like most of you guys are, to consider moving to North Carolina or to Georgia or to Louisiana within this next 5-year period, because they hire new young PA types just right off the street. You get the opportunity, you'll work many hours, you will work the hardest you've ever worked in your whole life, but you will learn, as Kurt is saying, the finest directors in the world end up in these towns shooting these movies. I did Blindside earlier this year with John Lee Hancock. I did Princess and the Frog, put 4 or 5 actors in that in New Orleans 2 years ago. The list just goes on and on and on. But those are markets that you can actually break in. In LA, it's so heavily unionized, and there's 100 million people looking for the same jobs, whereas in Shreveport, Louisiana, they're looking everywhere for somebody who has some interest or some background with a vision, you know, with a camera in their hand or with dreams of being writers or screenwriters. And anyway, I just want to encourage all of you. I think I didn't come here even knowing that there was going to be a film forum, and that this introduction was going to be made in Urbana, and I find it one of the largest steps that Urbana could have made for the standpoint of what we're going to face in the next 15 to 20 years in terms of the influence that we have as videographers and filmmakers. And so I just encourage you all. But LA is not the only place. There's Bollywood and India. The film industry is all over the world. And there's a lot. Los Angeles is not just the only place. But certainly, if you're going to live there, there's a lot of contacts there that you can make. And I want to leave two practical things, and you may be very familiar with these. Media Fellowship has been around for 25 years, is an organization that you can connect to that will support you. It's mediafellowship.org, and they are in locations all around the world. Secondarily is a ministry called Master Media, and you can Google that, Master Media. Are you familiar with
that? Yeah, I'm familiar with Master Media.
Okay.
Yeah. Master Media is a good organization. At least I don't know if it's around the country. Is it in North Carolina
as
well?
No. Master Media is not. Media Fellowship is. But Master Media's goal.
Hollywood Prayer Network is probably the best resource that I've found in Los Angeles. I have an intercessory prayer partner assigned to me through the Hollywood Prayer Network, and that's an incredible value to have that. So if you're going to Shreveport actually is a huge production hub. Sometimes those places change from place to place depending on whether they still have the tax incentive or not. Right now, I don't know if Detroit's still booming, but it was a year ago. Detroit, Michigan with the new tax incentive there. So you can look for those types of places as well. And he's right, there is a lot of opportunity to get involved in a film production, and films that are coming in and out of the state. Those opportunities are available as well. So are we at past time? Okay.
We have time for one more?
30 seconds.
Very, very quick.
Okay. I'm salivating. I didn't know this session was taking place. My name's Gary Stratton. I run Act One, which is a film school that trains Christians to enter Hollywood as missionaries. And we have graduates come from USC, UCLA, the Regent for Biola. Writers on 6 or 7 different network shows right now. Just won our first Emmy for producer as we work with Kurt for Bella. So anyway, I'm here with my son, but Keiko's just delivered some brochures to me, so if you'd like to hear a little bit more about coming and doing a summer program training with Act One, I'm here.
Yeah, I would highly recommend Act One, too. I've heard a lot of great things. Thank you for giving that comment. All right, I guess we're done. So anyone who has any additional questions...